Good. Great, thank you. Anyway, there's Ray's name. Make sure I give him credit for his hard work in this. I'll be honest with you, I had to decipher some of his stuff, and there's some slides without notes, so we'll make up our own stuff as we go along on those. These are your objectives today that we hope to get across, and we'll certainly take questions at any point in time and discuss whatever y'all want regarding this. But we want to get across why court security is so important, how to cope with different individuals' behaviors, roles of first responders. I'll say more about that later, but we're all first responders at some point in time. Duties of the court officer, who should implement the court security, and how do you fund it? That, might as well open that up right now. Do y'all realize that there's a court security fund you can collect on every fine? Okay, good. I think one of the classes they taught, there were a few courts that weren't aware of that. And certainly that's a good way to make some money and get you some new metal detectors, panic buttons, whatever it may be. This is I never really thought about this, but who comes to court? Obviously the upset. I thought about that one, but they're upset because they had to take the time off from work and they may have to pay that fine. Of course, nobody wants to pay a fine. Then you'll have your confused, which may be the teenager or just somebody that's never been through the court system, and they just don't understand. You'll have your concern about the fine amount, insurance costs, and whether or not they could potentially go to jail because they don't have the money to pay it. Y'all have all seen that, I'm sure. And then you get the fed up. No one cares, no one wants to listen to your side, we don't want to do anything for them. And they're being picked on. Unresolved issues, and that's one of the things I'm going to go into in a minute, but obviously if you get a lot of things going on in your life, a lot of pressures outside of that, and then they get this criminal charge, whatever it may be, that could be something that sends them over the edge, too much pressure. It can be very, very minute things that set people off. And that's speaking from experience on the street. You never know what's going to set somebody off. Then, of course, you got, I didn't click ahead. You got gang members, they're what they are, and felons. We have every kind of person come through our court system. The potential for any one of these people to blow up is high. How many of y'all sit behind glass? Y'all are all court clerks, right? No judges this time? Y'all all have glass, bulletproof glass, hopefully? Really? Well, heck yeah, you tell them it is. It's bazooka bulletproof. That's something to, somewhere in this, in mind, I'm scatterbrained about this. I've been reading for 4 days trying to get up to speed on it. But one of the things that Ray came up with is that your court administrators have an obligation, I think, or he did, and I think it's a good idea, to come out and ask y'all, do you feel secure? Do you feel safe? And do you know what to do if we have an incident? We're going to get into more of that, but it's just not having bulletproof glass. Nowadays, the gun's the way to go. They come in and start shooting. Court security fund. That'd be a good suggestion. How many don't have glass? Wow, just face-to-face, good old... And where were you from? Everybody's nice out in Abilene, though.
Sure.
Everybody. Except for that one. These are over the past 20 years. And... who was close to Tyler? Yeah. Do y'all remember this years ago? Three dead and four hurt. And it happened in pretty much a split second. Atlanta, let's see, where's my note for that? Judge Barnes and his court reporter and sheriff deputy are shot to death at the Fulton County Courthouse. This Brian Nichols overpowered the sheriff deputy, took his gun, and started shooting everybody. Split second. The Fort Worth, Texas one. Are we there? There we are. I remember this one back in, 92. George Lott comes in and shoots the assistant DA. Everybody probably saw that one. That was national news. I remember that one. And that was pretty close to home because I'm just about 30 miles away from Fort Worth. And then some of the big issues now, obviously, and I'm not sure it stemmed out of that, if that's a general statement on the civil suits, but I'm sure at some point somebody's going to catch on that you don't have any court security, and when somebody comes in and creates havoc, that the ball's going to fall back in the city, county, whoever's court it is. There's probably going to be a pretty good litigation suit out of it, unfortunately. Wow, good point, you know. Especially if you're collecting security fees and you have none. And we know that probably takes place somewhere in the great state of Texas. But, you know, I don't even, you know, what is it, $3, I think, $3 a ticket? So that adds up pretty quick in a... Sure, but... Bulletproof glass? Come on, let's take a month's worth of fine money and get you some bulletproof glass. What about panic buttons? Who all? We're going to go into that, I know, here in a minute. Just about everybody? Some? No? And you're from Martindale? Where's Martindale?
It's between San Marcos and Luling. It's south of the University of San Marcos.
Okay, but you're not on 35. That's why I don't know where it's at.
That's right.
I know 35. So yeah, that's something to think about and even talk about with your court administrators, the litigation aspect, the liability that the city brings on. Really? Well, I'm jumping ahead, but I'm allowed to do that. This right here is just a writing pen, right? Still a writing pen. Now when I put it in this manner and jab you in the eye, guess what it just became? Can we screen all that stuff out of the courtroom? No. We really want to get the mass destructive weapons, knives, guns, explosives, tasers, you know, things like that we don't want in the courtroom. We can deal with a pen. Some of you may get hurt, but that's close combat fighting right there. Baytown. Look at the time. Well, yeah, there we go. 1743, that's 5:43 in the afternoon. So obviously they had a little late trial. It's a juvenile case. And Harris County Annex, unknown problem. Basically all they get is down here. Suspect in Jean's hallway. But anyway, we'll get to the meat and potatoes of that. What happened was a 16-year-old got cross with the judge. The judge has the bailiff remove him from the courtroom. The 16-year-old decides to jump the bailiff and commence to beating her senseless in the hallway. The judge, who I'd love to meet, Judge Palumbo, he comes out and confronts him, and the kid starts coming to him. Well, guess what the judge does? Points a gun at him. Police get there, he leaves. I don't know, they don't give us all that. But praise to the judge. You know, he saved her life and everybody else's, for that matter, he could have gone off on. But that happened just like that. In the video we have here in a little bit. And what they were charged with was assault, deadly assault on a peace officer. The court got them completed, and I guess that means by Baytown that's a conviction, I'm guessing. What does this all mean? I don't know. Let me flip my page. Oh, yeah. If you're ever going to find people stressed out, the court's a good place to find them. How do we assure security personnel identify the normal from the abnormal, the misfit, or the maladjusted? Well, there is no formula for this. If we've been in the business any amount of time, we've learned to kind of read people. The ones that are scary are the ones you don't read, that are very just even-keeled, but you know something's wrong. You just can't figure it out. And I'm sure every one of y'all has had one of those at your window where you just the hair kind of stands up on the back of your neck for some reason. On the streets, we watch hands. Hands are the only thing that can hurt you. I don't know how you do business at the window, But when people's hands aren't visible, it bothers me. The eyes tell you a lot, and I don't know how much. This is a good time for complacency. I'm complacent. I've been doing this 25 years, and I'm complacent. And when I watch videos of my officer safety, it scares the hell out of me. Because just as me, or just as I get every day, you get positive reinforcement every single day that what I'm doing at the window is perfectly okay. Does that make sense? Because nobody is doing anything drastic or confrontational for the most part. But what happens is we fall into that norm and we quit looking for clues or paying attention to signs. And wow, that's a fan. But you can see where I'm going with that. You know, you're just filling out paperwork, taking money, type on the computer, filling money, you know, just repeat, and you're not, there's a guy standing at the window with a gun to your head, but you don't care. You're just doing the, I'm not knocking you. I watch my videos of my traffic stop, and I get horrified at how just sloppy I am. Really. Food for thought. It's very important to pay attention to your surroundings. Oh, and there's the old reactive security mode versus proactive. Reactive, we're chasing our tails. Proactive, we're stopping it before it gets out of hand. Law enforcement's had to make a swing. You know, a lot of agencies are reactive. We're going to go take the report. Don't worry about patrolling for the bad guy. Let's just take the reports and let CID deal with them. It doesn't work anymore. Different types of people. And y'all heard this before. Communicating with people in a stressful situation, the best thing you can do is remain calm. Well, that's easier said than done, depending on the situation. Remove the audience. I take that Ray was saying isolate them, try to bring them to an area that's less public, less people. In case something does go wrong, you're kind of buffering the danger zone. I don't know that y'all want to do that, but if you're out in the hallway talking to somebody, depending on your court setup, you may need to say, hey, let's step in here, or maybe even step out where there are a few more people. It just kind of depends on what's going on. Keep it simple. Don't be a psychologist with these people. Try to keep them happy at the same time being firm. Letting them know you're in control of the situation, but you're listening and care. A lot of us may or may not care, and I'll be honest, I don't care. I've heard it all. But I'm following up with that. But you know, you've heard so many excuses at the window why you got the ticket. You know, I never do this. Well, after a while, you're going, yeah, whatever. But I'm not, yeah, I am here. If I stand up here and you're telling me a story, and I give you one of these, what am I telling you? I don't care. But I'm going to fake it for a minute, and I'm going to go, yes, absolutely. I understand your situation. We're going to try to help you out. I don't care. But in a tense situation or a heated situation, showing compassion and that you care, whether you do or not, will go a long way. You know, I've got a stat here in just a minute. Oh, silence. How many people like to come into court and just vent? They just want to vent to somebody, tell their story, and when they're done, they say, can I get my fine reduced? They're out of there. If I remember my... No, I'm going to slide off. Sorry. There's some statistics here that were interesting. Knowing when to communicate. Obviously, the venting portion comes into play where you may want to just let them talk, until they run out of things to talk about. And then knowing what to communicate, and that may be solutions, options, maybe just some positive reinforcement. It'll be okay. And knowing how to communicate, again, tone of voice, body movement. And here's where I was talking about reactive and proactive. This is kind of like respond and react. And I still say react is like chasing your tail. So as long as you're responding to people and being involved, either through body language or talking to them, you're going to keep them calmer. But sitting there doing nothing is not really an option. There it is. I found this a very interesting statistic, that 60 to 80% of the impacted message is body language. Never really thought of it that way. I guess we all realize it. But gosh, you know, the difference between this teaching and walking around and talking to you, it makes a difference, does it not? Vocal tones, well, I could be monotone, 20 to 30%. That's what they come up with. But I could put you all to sleep, or I can bounce around the room and kind of keep it energetic somewhat. And then the word content, 7 to 10%. Wow, that's interesting. What made me think, have y'all seen the email where all the words are jumbled up, but then when you read it, you can read it? That's what that word amount kind of reminded me of, is that we can say very few words and get a very big point across, just as that email, you know, you can have letters all jumbled up and still get the message. True responders. If something happens in your court or at your window, and let's say somebody gets shot or stabbed, who's the first responder right then and there? Yeah. Now, and the guy, I'm going to say this, and the guy runs. He stabs somebody and runs out the door. You are medically the first responder. You've got to make a phone call if you're by yourself, which hopefully you never are. But that's a first responder. And then you're going to go tend to them as best you can within your skill level set. And then hopefully the fire department gets there quick, which they do. The cops are the ones that show up late. And that's very true. Now, there are some trends, like in Louisville, I know, used to, all our SWAT team members would have to come to the police department, gather all their toys, load up, and respond to a scene when it was a critical incident. Now, if I'm not mistaken, many of the guys carry their equipment in their cars, and they designate first responders to get out and start assessing the situation, and if need be, take action. But they're going to be loaded up with the heavy firepower. So things are starting to swing to being more aggressive. Now, you're still going to have your other officers that go to the PD and do the big overall plan, but at least you get some firepower out of an incident a lot quicker. This is so very true, and this is very true for most officers, or any human being, let's put it that way. When something goes down, confusion and chaos is one of the first things that's going to happen, whether it's for a split second or for a minute. The overwhelming senses the things that your senses are picking up just really kick in. Then your anxiety and fear will kick in. The subject could have some extreme responses to whatever you do in response to him. And then hopefully our brains kick back in and we do an assessment. And the assessment of situational, what is happening, behavioral, why is it happening, and then approach, stop and ensure your own safety. If you can't help, if you get hurt yourself, you can't help anybody else. So if a guy's going crazy with the gun, get under the desk, hide. When it stops, peek over and see what's happening. Because you may be the only person that can get to a phone and call. You know, if this guy really came in with a plan and wants to take out the whole court and the judge and everybody else, and you're the only one that gets to hide, you're it. So, safety first. Some of the initial actions you may take would be to attempt to contain the situation, and that would be locking down the courtroom, locking down your clerk area, restricting the person's movement so that they can't go do more damage. Everybody use electronic locks now? Yeah? No bulletproof glass?
No bulletproof.
But, I mean, no locks either? Or how do y'all?
We do have everything
automated. Okay. That's so important now. There's a slide up ahead that I kind of got a giggle at. But being able to isolate it, you know, our court has two entrances that are public, and they all come into a foyer. Then you can walk down to the court area. So the ingress, egress is only two ways in, two ways out for the most part. So it's easy to isolate that as far as our standpoint is, but for a court clerk, I don't know what y'all do. And we're going to get into that as well in just a minute. Is what kind of plans do y'all have? All right, the moment I've been waiting for. Let's see if this works. Did I skip a slide? No, okay. This first one is courtroom stuff. It's good stuff, and it happens like that. You may have seen some of this stuff on, I think this first one is based off of America's Most Wanted. Great. Okay. Play. Good. I have never seen a media player like this, have y'all? Well, we'll try one more thing. Open with Windows Media Player. Yay! No. Now he came in and told me, just click it and it'll fire up. Did y'all not hear that? No, we'll get it. Okay, we're in business. With no sound. You gotta be kidding me. All right. Okay, it's just a bunch of yelling and screaming anyway, but we'll, I'll narrate for you. There's a fight. I watched it before I came in. This guy had killed two kids, or two ladies, and that was one of the victim's sons that, and he got sentenced to death sentence, and then the victim's son wound up getting assault. There's some good ones in here. It's quite interesting to... This guy wanted to kick his attorney's posterior. I don't know why that's not working. It's driving me up the wall. Another defendant didn't like his attorney. Imagine that. But what we're trying to emphasize with these videos is look how fast things go bad. Yeah, well, you know, that was a murder trial, I think, here as well. So obviously they anticipate emotions running high. We're dealing with Class C misdemeanors, but who's to say that's not going to happen? Again, what sets a person off? We don't know. But what's he got to lose? He just got convicted of, I forgot what it was, but it was a healthy sentence. What's he got to lose? A little criminal mischief's not going to hurt him. This guy is a sex offender of some sort, and he was posting child pornography on the internet. And the whole thing is here, he's using the umbrella from this camera guy, and then this is what takes place. Of course, the camera guy got a little aggressive there too, ripping his umbrella apart. But that guy's under a lot of pressure. I mean, he deserves it, but again, emotionally, he may be at wit's end, obviously. This is a sex offender out of Arkansas that's attacking after he gets sentenced. Another, he killed two people, and another victim, this is a victim's son again, that's fixing to take out his own justice. And that's it. So that's one of two. I have one more. Which I think will start up a lot easier this time. This is kind of entertaining, but it's to show how you can conceal weapons. This is nothing more than just, it's called dress code. And just watch this kid. I better right-click this. This guy. See how much he conceals. So loose clothing is one of those things to pay real close attention for bulges. I mean, everybody's got a phone now. But when you... This is just quite... This amazes me. Yeah, look at this. But yet, there's more. Kind of scary. Again, that's why that complacency is so bad for us. It's human nature, but watching for signs, watching hands. Eyes don't hurt you. Hands do. Their hands are up on the counter and doing business, not a whole lot to worry about. If people start reaching around their waistband, you might get a little concerned. Because I would.
Our villains are always watching that during court.
Yeah. Tell them to get them out. Now, do y'all run them through the metal detector before you... All right, now we have the bad side of the room over here. We have bulletproof glass and no metal detectors, or lack of. Wow. Do y'all collect the court security fund?
We do. It's just that city council doesn't approve a lot of security measures for the courts. And they're investing in that they don't want to...
I don't think the city council... Did he teach the same class?
Very similar.
Is it mine better? Okay, good.
They're going to do the same thing because we had a big change. Build a bulletproof glass wall today, hoping to do this within a year.
But, no.
You know, they're open-minded to it.
But if you're... What are they spending that... They can't spend that money on anything but court security.
Actually, what they spend it on is to pay our bailiffs.
Well, I guess they could.
If they can.
Yep, because that's going... That's court security. That's not. I don't think they can do that.
The other reason why they don't do it is because it's a building that the city is leasing for the police department and the court.
Okay, but a metal detector is very transportable. I would push them for that, and I do it in memo. I'm not going to speak out. I get wound up on. But that's a safety issue, and if you send a memo over to city council about, hey, you know what, this is an easy option. I understand it's a lease building, but. We can put in a metal detector at the entry. That's not asking too much.
We used to have a panic button, but then they leased the building because we were outgrowing it. So they got rid of our panic button because they had trouble putting this guy down.
Well, you know.
And it's a Class C. Not a murder, sexual trial.
Yeah.
But it does happen. And when we told them.
But that's a good time to write a memo and say, hey, it did happen. And I really don't want to see. I just get that's such a simple fix, or at least a deterrent somewhat, that it's, and they're not expensive, they're not horrific. And I get being in a lease building. You don't want to go through and bulletproof it and put steel panels in. I get that. But something as simple as a metal detector, a panic button, that's not much. A camera's reactive once again. Even a wand. Those are a couple hundred dollars. Wow, we're doing all right. Thinking outside the box. I guess what they're getting at here is traditionally court administrators and clerks and judges did the security plans. And now, well, I must have missed another slide. No, I'm just one ahead of myself. What should go into your manuals? Obviously, job descriptions, who does what in an incident. That goes for the judge as well, administrators. Your physical security, that's the interior, the exterior, the lighting, the alarms, the fire system. Are you in compliance with code? Facility evacuation plan. When's the last time anybody in here even did a fire drill? I'm thinking high school. Do you really? Okay.
We don't even have an emergency.
Okay. Okay, the fire drill, who cares? But if there's really a critical incident in fire drill, I'm being facetious about that. That is important. But when there's a critical incident and there's no plan of action, various routes depending on where in the building something could be taking place, probably not a good idea not to have a plan, especially if you don't have windows that open. You know, windows are great, but most buildings now are solid glass. You can't open them. What are you going to do? Where is a safe haven within your office? Do you have a closet that's got reinforced wall? You know, something so you have a way to protect yourself. I don't know. But I laughed when I read this a couple days ago. Evacuation plan? Hell, I haven't been a fire drill since I was in high school.
You're really going to laugh about our security plan. They tell us that there's some kind of stuff. You know, they went through.
No. Well, okay. As goofy as that is, I don't know that I'd slide the card out till I heard the police coming down the hall and then slide it out. They're still going to come in. They're going to treat you like a hostage situation until they...
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you throw into the door.
I think my chances would be
better to go out that way. Well, yeah. I mean, if the door's there. But then again, it depends on... Every situation's different. And that's why even just when you're sitting around bored twiddling your thumbs, do some what-ifs.
Yeah.
Some guy comes in this door over here shooting or this door over here. Where would I go? What do I do? We do it. We role-play in our heads all the time out on the street, or we should be. You know, what if a guy jumps from behind? How am I going to get out of it? You know, survival instincts. And if you don't ever role play, you really will be stuck in a rut if something bad happens. It's a fight or flight. Evacuation bomb threats, they come in different styles. Telephone bomb threats, letter bomb threats, or just a bomb in the courtroom with a bunch of wires hanging on it. But those come in different styles, so you need to have plans for that. The emergency medical plan, see, I'm not clicking. There we go. Identify different types of medical conditions that may need attention if something happens, whether it's heart attacks, bleeding, gunshot wounds, stabbing. What are you going to do? Incident reports, which I just found out what that meant today. I did not realize that the courts have to fill out incident reports within, 3 days when there's an incident at the court? How many do that? That's interesting because I asked one of the people I was eating lunch with about how much do you think the stats are padded or not reported. which is unfortunate. I was informed that municipal courts have the highest rate, but municipal courts also handle the most cases. So proportionally speaking, it's not bad. It was like 16%. But that's interesting that they wouldn't report it, because now, yeah, they make themselves still look good, but in the long run, trying to see how much of a problem there really is in Texas courts in general, you're skewing the stats and not helping to cure the problem, I guess. No, it's... And it's a disruption of the court at that point. So
you know, he had to get up and come to the hallway.
Yeah.
And it's all one space.
Well, that's interesting. And again, every city is different. And I'm not trying to get on the soapbox about the metal detector. But, you know, it's something to address on a continual basis. Well, next time a guy with a gun, you know. But if we sweep it under the rug... What are we going to do about it next time? Sweep it again until something bad happens? And it's not worth it, you know. It just grew. It's. It's got to go to the state, is from what I understand. I don't know if it's DPS maintaining the. I know that TMCEC has a link on the website with a report. And I think the stats, I don't have my computer up where I could look real quick. But it's mandatory. It's a, you shall fill out a report is what I'm reading.
Not for administrator notes, but I mean, is it just for hostile things, or is it for like we had a mayor that I wanted to know that he appeared to be having a diabetic, going into a diabetic kind of sort of deal.
I wouldn't. No, I think it's going to be a disruption of the court. Honestly, I haven't read it. Don't quote me on it. But historically speaking, with law, it would be something disruptive or a fight or you know some sort of incident that's abnormal. Raising your voice and yelling at people, probably not so much of an incident, but the big fight, sure. That's a obvious disruption of the court. So I would say yeah. Courtroom searches need to have a plan for what and what not to do. I'll tell a little funny story. We had an officer who was a rookie, and we had a bomb threat at a Kinko's copier place in the ditch. And being the rookie that he was, he passed the fire truck. There's a bad sign. You never pass a fireman. He bails out of his car, runs and gets the package, runs it out to the middle of the other bar ditch to get it away from the building. All the time shaking and his radio going off, and the firemen are just stopped going, oh my God. Well, guess what? Movement can set a bomb off, radio frequency can set a bomb off, a timer can set a bomb off. So there was no safety involved here. Had it been a real deal and, you know, movement would have set it off, kaboom, bye-bye. So when you see strange things in the courtroom, ask yourself a couple questions before you go moving it. Or ask people if they know whose package it is. When people don't claim stuff, just like at the airport, unattended packages, they deal with those as a potential bomb or hazard. Okay, man, we're just cruising. Prisoner control. I had a note for that, but basically you want to seclude them. This is more of a county district court thing because we don't have them under arrest typically. And I imagine most of y'all, when your judge does his arraignments, he does them in the jail. No? Some? Yeah. So that's not real applicable to a municipal court, but there are occasions we have an arrested person in there. Who should create the manual? Well, back in the day, like I said earlier, judges, court administrators, clerks, they kind of, what little there was, they dealt with it. Now, you want law enforcement, and that's not just police, that's from the federal down to local. Get everybody involved, because everybody's working together now since 9/11. And it's not a bad idea because everybody's got their own resources and expertise, and if you can put all your heads together and come up with a good plan, nothing wrong with that. Obviously, court administrators need to be involved because they work in the building. They know the inner workings, the daily doings, as you will. And then the judges, they have a certain level of security they're going to need. And, of course, the clerks, because you are the frontline warriors. And we went over a little bit of this earlier. We're fixing to break it down, but the overall security of the building, outside, inside, weapon screening, and alarm protocols. I got to move a little faster. Outside perimeter, parking, lighting, landscaping, and doors and other openings. How many of y'all have good lighting in your parking lots? How many of your parking lots are secluded from other parking lots or designated for employees only? Food for thought. How many of y'all have parking for court clerk, parking for judge, parking for the court administrator signs? Anybody? Because I think that's crazy. If you got a pissed off customer and he wants to go kill the judge, there's where he parks, and our judge parks randomly throughout our parking lot, as well as all our employees. It's kind of crazy when you're in the field we're in to advertise what you drive. Because now, what if he didn't want to ambush you there? He knows what you drive. He sits at the end of the parking lot, follows you home. Now he knows where you live. All kinds of bad things can happen. Not that they can't do that, but make it harder for them. Landscaping.
I'm sorry, everybody on this board, our judge, Tumor College.
Mm-hmm. Landscaping's interesting. We just moved our city hall to a new city hall, and courts moved into the old city hall. Of course, city halls have to have fancy landscaping. So this next picture, this is good landscaping. There's not a whole lot of places to hide for y'all or anybody when they're coming in and out of the building. There's those signs I was talking about. City of Louisville still has big bushes and walls around. You know, it really amazes me that we haven't thought about that yet. But inside security, your alarm system, fire protection. Alarm systems consist of audible and silent fire protection, whether or not you get your smoke alarms. Signage. Do y'all have all your areas signed for the public to know, employees only, restricted area? Okay. It's important to keep them informed. Do you have a generator for emergency lighting or just the emergency lighting such as we have over the doors here? Areas to handle money. Bigger courts bring in lots of money a day. Do you have secure areas or a safe room? Even a place where you can count the money where you're on camera so you're not going to get accused of stealing money. You know, that works both ways. The public areas, does anybody ever walk through those to make sure they're clear of any foreign packages? You know, just every once in a while sweeping through, making sure there's nothing out. And then their personal safety, using your last name only or first name, you know. That's just general identity theft stuff. Don't spread your personal information across the office for people at the window to see. Kind of keep yourself under wraps. Here's an example of marking your areas. This one I kind of find interesting, though. If this is authorized personnel only, why do we have a push door going into the authorized personnel area? Unless there's an electronic lock on there, that's a bad thing. We really don't want to have doors that open in to areas like that. And I don't know where that came from, so I can't speak on it, but I caught that and thought that was interesting. All right, weapon screening. I think we're almost done because we're running out of time. This is one of the hardest tasks. It's time-consuming, and you got to do it right because we want to protect the citizens and court employees most of all. We want to prohibit potential weapons from entering the court, and we certainly want to control the activity going on in the building. And that may be through manual searches or the metal detectors. Something I think is important, though, complacency again, is that we have 5,000 people come through our metal detectors, and it doesn't go off, or we search the purse or the pockets, and there's nothing in there, and we become complacent. And we start kind of shortening our search. Well, guess what? back to the stories I'm telling you about officer safety, it's going to bite you in the butt one of these days. So if you just stick to a routine, yeah, it takes an extra 10 seconds to do what you're supposed to do. At least you're consistent. It's second nature. You're doing it with muscle memory, basically. And the odds of making a mistake are probably less. But when you start cutting corners because it's okay, it could be a problem. So the effectiveness of the system will determine the integrity of the process. And letting the people know when they come in they're fixing to have some security issues. Usually people that know they have a weapon will go back out to their car and dispose of it. Who had the sword? Yeah. The cane sword, he probably just thought he'd try to sneak through with it, but boy, that'd be a bloody mess if he decided to use it. So warning these people that they're coming up to a security checkpoint's a good thing. Kind of gives them a heads up. We kind of brushed across this already on the duress alarms, silent and audible. How many of y'all have tested yours? Daily, weekly, monthly, yearly? Oh, okay. All right. I think there's some alarms, and there's a code of criminal procedure on the security fund, 102.017, certainly worth reading and maybe reading it more in depth for what you were talking about on the uniforms. And there's a final quote from one of the judges. Our obligation is to provide a safe and secure working area for all employees and a secure area for all persons entering our courts. Thank you all very much.